2023. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. And whatever platform you are streaming on, welcome, and as always, thank you very much. Hey, 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 Miss Ace, welcome, you're number one today. Brina, she beat you today. Frankie, everyone's been beating you lately. Welcome. Hey, welcome. Hey, Brina, well, what can I say? Then again, I was late today. Later. He says something that happens once in a blue moon. Well, I'm glad you made it. Okay, y'all, hold on for 1 second here. There we go. Okay, so let's see. Okay, everybody's saying hello to each other. Okay. So hold on for a second here. I'm coming. All right. Okay, so today I want to talk about why difficult conversations are necessary. And y'all, they are. Difficult conversations, they are necessary. They are. Even though we don't like to have them, but they are necessary. But I want to know, not only are they necessary, why they're necessary, but why people want to avoid them. And we're talking about conversations from, you know, your kid is a bully to, I don't want to babysit your kid, to I don't want to date you anymore, to, you know, why do you not like me? I mean, just there. However you choose to see the conversation, that's how I look at it. If you see a conversation as being difficult, then it is. If you don't see a conversation, you know, being hard or whatever, a difficult conversation will not be hard. Bart, welcome. And GP, welcome. So, And like Crazy says, it is even more necessary. I have a friend who she's a grandparent. Her grandkids are a mess. They are rude. They are disruptive. Their parents let them do whatever they want, but she doesn't want to tell her son that she doesn't want to, you know, watch them because, number one, of what he might say, and the fact that the wife, you know, she's one of those people like, well, how come, you know, my child's the best thing that ever happened, and, you know, so forth, so forth. Welcome, Tully and Shelby and Juju. You know, so she doesn't like telling them that she cannot watch them. And I'm like, you need to just tell them. You know, and other people have made comments to them about their children. Fair use. Welcome. You know, so why are conversations difficult, like I said, because we make them like that? Or are they difficult just because they are? Blunt. Welcome. So, you know, like I said, I personally think a conversation is difficult because we make it so. You have some people like me, I'll talk about anything. I will talk about anything, you know, but you have some people who won't or they can't for whatever reason. But sometimes those conversations have to be had. I mean, if you know that your neighbor is dating someone that is a not nice person, and you all are not just on like, hey, how you doing, you know, basis. I mean, you all are friends. You know, it's your neighbor. Let's say it's not your neighbor. Let's say it is one of your friends or someone that's in your family. And they're dating someone that's toxic. That person could be a male or a female. And you know this. Do you not tell them because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings? And that's what we get a lot. It's like, well, I don't want to hurt your feelings. But are feelings sometimes necessary, you know, to hurt, to have the difficult conversation? Because later down the road, someone will say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you say something? And that's why I'm always of the opinion that if I'm saying something or doing something, tell me. Don't tell me later and say, well, I thought that, but no, tell me. If you know this person is an ex-murderer, and yesterday we were talking about doing background checks on people, whatever, tell me. You know, but I personally think that people choose to make a conversation difficult. Sometimes just get it out there, get it over with, move on, let the chips fall where they may. Crazy, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I decided I'm on my lunch, so I was like, let me take advantage while I'm on my lunch.
Oh, well, thank you.
And of course I saw the topic and I was like, you know, because I'll be honest, I don't mind having the hard conversation, but I'm also gonna not have it every time I see you. So like, you know, one of the things that I was just thinking when you were talking about your friend and it's the grandma, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's
my friend is the grandmother. So yes.
Right. So she don't want to watch the kids because they're bad kids. Exactly. Right. Okay. A lot of times they feel bad because, you know, that is my grandkid. And then they know that they're not worried about how they would feel in that situation. They're just like, you're the grandma. How can you say that? Well, two things. The grandma should be able to discipline those children the way she sees fit. Without a problem. So that should be something, and she should feel comfortable doing that. So that tells me she doesn't, if she doesn't. And then they should understand, as she said, look, if you don't want to do anything about this, don't bring him over here. Because I'm going to tell you, if that's considered a bad grandma, let me have some bad grandchildren. Cause I promise you, when you come over here, it won't be like that, or you won't come over here. And I don't care. You know, it's family, it's grandma, it's this. No, nobody deserves to be run over for whatever reason. And I'm telling you right now, I've cut off friendships because their kids were awful. And I would come over there and like, look, I don't let my kid talk to me that way. I'm not going to let your kid talk to me any kind of way. And if you can't control it, I just won't come over there. You know what I'm saying? But if you have to have the difficult conversation and keep saying it and repeating it, first of all, if you have to repeat something to somebody every time, they don't respect what you're talking about. They don't respect what you're trying to bring to them. It doesn't matter. I'm going to stop talking and then I'm going to stop going around you. So I'm going to stop having the difficult conversation because it's pointless. But all difficult, if you consider it being difficult, it's necessary. If you look at it, you're like, man, I don't want to have this conversation. It's probably, like I said even earlier, it's even more necessary to do it. You know what I'm saying? And some people need that. Some people get helped by difficult conversations. Some people get defensive. And you know why they get defensive? Because it's the truth. Because it made them feel some type of way.
Well, do you, okay, because I think that a conversation will be as difficult as you make it.
Yep.
I mean, because no matter what you are talking about, and yes, some things are hard to say, but I think that the people, well, I don't want to say anything to her. I don't want to tell them whatever. It's like, to me, it just builds up, and then it just gets worse. So then when the conversation finally had, and for some people, it could be years down the road, then it's just so messed up. It's like, you knew this. Whatever, you know, so, I mean, and I understand that you don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
Not me. I'm going to hurt them because it's not going to be my anxiety that's going to pay the price or whatever it is. And you're right. The difficult doesn't come from the person giving the conversation. It comes from them thinking, what is that other person going to come back? For me, it's not about hurting the feelings. It's about them, like, actually talking crap back. Well, what is it your business? Who are you to say? You know, you're just like, man, I don't want to have it. But at the same time, you don't want to carry it around. And remember, we talked about this, you know, like, man, I just lost my train of thought. If someone's making it difficult, or man, what was I going to say? I lost it. There was a whole point to that.
Well, I'll let you come back to your point. Let me read a couple of comments while you trying to bring your thought back into the house. Lou says, words no man wants to hear. We need to talk. I don't think anybody wants to ever hear whomever you are want to hear. We need to talk. And Shelby says, exactly. I want to know and let me make the decision. And Ace has a good point. She says, I'm going to tell people exactly what I think. You can either respect me for it or hate me. The choice is on you, not me. Agree with you 100%. Lou says, yeah. She should whip them. Have you seen these kids? These kids, you want to just pull out, and I have a reason for a mass shooting with those kids.
I'm just saying, so I got it back. Sorry. It was just a matter of, if you keep doing something I don't like, don't be surprised when I don't talk to you anymore. You know, like, it was something that you said that triggered in my head. Like, you know, you can't keep, it's that repetitive stuff, you know, eventually people walk away from that. And also, like, if I do something, right, we talked about this too. If I do something you don't like and you don't tell me, how do I know that? What if it was just a joke? What if whatever? But like to the point you made is it's just going to fester. And then the next time it's just going to keep getting worse. And that's, you're right. The longer it goes, that's one of the reasons why I just say stuff. And a lot of people are like, damn, why? Because I don't like that. I don't want it to fester. I don't want to have to worry about it. I don't want to think about it. I already got enough voices in my head going on. I don't need them all talking at once, thinking about all these things that I didn't say because I was afraid to say it. Because the worst that can happen is what? Someone argues with you, you get a no. If you don't ask the question, you don't get an answer type of thing. It's all the same. The worst that can happen is no, or somebody that is toxic walks away from you. What's wrong with that? You know, that's not good for you anyways. If they're just going to argue with you, like, you know, I'm trying to help you. I'm not telling you anything other than that. If they think you're jealous, if they think you're just harping on them, they think that you're whatever, and they just always argumentative back, they're going to lose somebody who cared. Not realizing that was the reason. You know what I mean? Hard conversations are necessary, not only because you care, but because somebody else needs to be told. That's why I tell somebody, don't push me to start telling you how I really feel, but sometimes it's necessary.
But do you think that, for some people, and again, for even what's going on in the world today in this country, it's like there are so many conversations that need to be had, but people don't want to have them. I mean, people are saying, I don't want to feel guilty, whatever. It's like, get over yourself, because the world is made up of so many different things, so many different people. Somebody's going to piss somebody off somewhere along the way, but you can't sweep things under the rug. So my next question, and a formal welcome to Shorty. My next question is, let's talk about the friend who, and we talked about this before, but it's a difficult one to talk about. Your friend is being cheated on by their significant other, or you're friends with both of them, and you know that she's or he is cheating on someone else. Is that a difficult conversation you want to have? Or do you just, or in this situation, do you just, I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and what happens, happens.
Damn you and these variables. That's for me personally, I'll just give my perspective on that. For me, that's a person.
Situation. I just saw what she just said. Tina Turner just passed away. Oh,
no way.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go on.
Oh, wow. That's nuts. That's sad. That's really sad. Wow, that just messed me up a little bit. So that, for me, that's a situational thing. Do I want to give my energy? Do I really? Here's the thing. If I was friends with both of them, I'm going to go to the person who I know is cheating. And first of all, in that situation, before I go anywhere, I'm going to make sure that I have solid proof, because I'm not coming to an assumption. It's so solid proof. But I'm going to go, if I know both of them, I'm friends with both of them equally, I'm going to go to the other person. Honestly, I'm going to give them a chance to give themselves up, because you're going to either lose in this situation. You're either going to lose one or both. Either way, you feel me? Because if you let it go and you don't say nothing, then they find out you knew, you're going to lose them then, or you're going to lose one or both now, because you just, that's why I have three friends. Cause I say a lot of things and people are just like, damn, I'm just like, look, I'm not going to let me be bullshitted or anybody else. But anyways, I'm going to tell that person, listen, you need to say something. And especially if that other friend is asking, I'm going to be like, look, I'm not going to lie for you. So you need to either come clean or I'm going to have to say something. It depends on the situation for me. If I don't see them that often, I hate that. Don't get me wrong, because I would not want to be on the other side of that either, being cheated on, right? Obviously. So that would be the in your mind fighting that. Well, what if it was me? I would just hope somebody would tell me, right? You say that, but then if you tell that person, you're just jealous, or you're just making up stuff, and that can,
in that conversation, is it required of you as a friend to tell someone, of you just to keep your mouth shut? I mean, to me, it's like, I'm not going to say anything, because I've been on the side of telling someone, and way back when, before I was married, and someone told me, and the person that told me, I already knew, and I was already making preparations to leave and what have you. But when I told someone else, it's like they jumped down my throat, and I said, I'm never going to do that again, no matter. But then it's like, well, if the person's really close to you, what do you do? And look, is that a difficult conversation that is necessary? Is that a necessary, difficult conversation to have?
No, you know what? I'm going to say that's not necessary. I, for me, I think it's situational. I think it's, well, how do you feel about that? And, you know, for your heart, because if you really care about somebody, not just acquaintances, not just in passing, if your heart is with them, if that's somebody, then you might, that's where you're going to struggle. You know what I'm saying? Because really and honestly, everybody wants everybody to mind their damn business. And you're right. Most of the time, they don't take it as, oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad you told me. It's, you still lose them anyways. Even if they do thank you, they're just like, you know, they're going to look at you forever for being the one that ruined their relationship. It doesn't matter if you weren't the person. Somehow you're indirectly involved because you opened your mouth about it. So I know that's the sense of everybody. I'm going to mind my business. Okay. So that's why for me, it's hugely situational, huge situational. I mean, if I'm never going to see those people again and I see homie's husband over there smooching on somebody in the bushes, I'm like, no, probably not. I'm not going to be like, hey, well, you should take a walk over there because your homie, your hubby over there with his tongue down homegirl's throat. But in another situation, you know, if it was a chick maybe I was with, friends with, I mean, like, you know, heart friends, and I knew I might give him a heads up with solid proof. I'm just gonna be like, hey, this is what it is. Here it is. Do what you want with that. You know, I'm not gonna have a conversation about it, but that would be few and far between.
Okay, now Brina makes a good point. She says, that's right. You have to talk about it if it keeps bothering you. Okay, so.
Right.
Again, what is considered?
Exactly.
A conversation that is necessary. So what do you consider a conversation that is necessary? I mean, because technically any conversation could be necessary. I mean, you know, saying that, you know, you're about to go to the store to buy bread, that could be necessary because maybe your kids want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't know. So, I mean, what is considered a conversation that is necessary, and then what makes it difficult? So first, what makes a conversation necessary?
Okay, so I'll tell you why I think the other one is not necessary, like whatever's, because again, that's a heart thing. You know, that's a, I could mind my business, but my heart feels like I should say something, right? But I don't think that's difficult. The difficult part of that, again, is how they're going to react, not what you're going to say. It's how they're going to react. That's what the difficult part is.
So you think that the difficult part is all in the reaction?
Pretty for me, I'm just going to speak for me. It's when difficult for me is when I'm like, damn, that's when I'm like, damn, I know what's going to happen. If I say this, it's going to be, you know, this, the consequence, this and this, not because I, you know, or like, it really isn't, it's not a moral thing, because morally you have morals, and that's not a difficult thing to me, is to stick by my morals. Right. So, and I'm talking, we're kind of surround this in the whole cheating thing, you know, because morally, am I responsible for every human on the planet? No, but heart, if I give somebody my loyalty, if I'm loyal to them and that's my word is my loyalty, then that's somebody that I would tell. That would be a necessary conversation for me.
Okay, so necessary for you are conversations more on the line of cheating, somebody killed somebody, somebody's a serial killer type thing, as opposed to just, you know, again, we talked about this on another show. You know, somebody's not really, you know, that their father is not really their father, their mother's not really their mother. You know this, but they don't. Is that a necessary conversation?
That's not your business.
But some people feel that it's necessary. I totally get it, but you do have those people who feel, well, no, I just feel that they should know. It's not that they don't feel they should know, they just want to be the one to tell them.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. That's not a moral thing. That's just, you know something and you want to spill the tea. You know what I'm saying? That's not the same as cheating on somebody. That's somebody's life. You're really their mom and dad.
Okay, but isn't it somebody's life if you're cheating on someone?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Finding out your parents aren't, or I think that's a little more traumatizing. And again, this is just for me, and I could, there's a situation behind what I why I'm so adamant about this is because I feel like that's a little closer to home than your boyfriend, because you can get another boyfriend. You can't get another parent. You can't, you know, like there's, that's a big difference to me, telling somebody who their parents are or aren't. Maybe you should have kept your mouth shut, because that can be traumatizing to somebody to find out some shit like that. But cheating, I'm not saying it's not traumatic. Absolutely. What I'm saying is you can dump that boyfriend, get another boyfriend. You can't, the parent thing, you can't change that. You can't get out of that. That's
okay. All right. Then here's, then I'm going to throw listen to you, because Shorty says, I'm going to tell them and I'm going to let them know. I'm sorry, Shorty, the way I'm reading this, and I know you're not saying it like this, but I'm reading is like, I'm a tell. Okay. Then Blunt says, if I knew for a fact, like I saw it myself, I tell my friend. A says she's been in those situations. Brina says it's messy, especially if you're friends with both, but you have to say something. Blunt says, but I had a friend break up with me over telling her about her man cheating. Sadly, you will probably lose both friends, Brina says. And then A says, it's difficult for the circumstances. No two situations will be the same. My way of looking at it is you will confidently be able to continue looking them in the eyes without guilt if you don't speak. And A says, the puberty talk with my kids are necessary and momentarily uncomfortable thing. Lou says, I have serial killer obsession. I'm sorry. I just think that you don't know. There could be serial killers on this pod being on this show.
But you're not wrong.
I'm just saying. I could be one. I'm sorry, but you just nowadays, I'm sorry, you just don't know. And A says, are you talking to stir the pot or talking to truly help someone? Okay, so Crazy, going back to what you were saying, where you're saying that one is life changing, would you tell, what if, okay, hold on, I want to put this. So your friend is cheating, or their significant other is cheating on them. There's a child involved. The child finds out from, not necessarily from you, but some indirect way, that their parent is being cheated on or is the cheater. Don't you think that's life altering? I mean, don't you think that is a life altering thing? Just like if you told someone that they weren't their mother or father.
If the child found out one of them was cheating and they could potentially have a different parent? Is that what you mean?
Just the fact that, you know, you find out that one of your parents were or is the cheater or is being cheated on, is that going to affect, I mean, that could be, and it could affect.
My dad was a hoe. So you're asking the wrong person. So I really didn't care. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That's a weird question, because I'm not saying it's not life altering. What I'm saying is that situation can change. You can do something about that. Like if they thought the step parent or the cheated, obviously if it's the mom cheating, you know, there could be several daddies. If the dad's cheating, can't be several mommies. That's got to be your mom. You know what I mean? So no, like
you're assuming if she gets pregnant.
Huh? Oh, and I'm saying, didn't you say that the child caught the parents cheating?
No, I'm saying that they didn't catch them, but somehow or another, they found out.
Still the child that you're talking about. So right. What I'm saying what's the traumatization there? Do they think they have a different daddy because mommy's a hoe, or because they can't think they've had a different mommy because daddy's a hoe?
But you could, okay. But what if you have a child that thinks that, you know, my life is so great, and you know that my mom and dad, they love each other or whatever.
So what you're saying is, once they find out they have a dysfunctional family and they're not perfect,
right?
Okay. I mean, what's the difficult conversation there?
No, it wasn't a different conversation. You said about it being traumatizing, that you thought that it was traumatizing to tell someone that they do not have the same mother and father, as opposed to to.
Oh yeah, because you can't change that. But like you're in your situation with that dramatization doesn't have several variables, because what's the traumatization there? Like what are they traumatized by, that they don't have the perfect family?
Okay. But you have some people that are like that. Okay. I mean, you don't know what triggers people.
But you can change that. Like there is a talk that can be had about that with the parents, with the, what you asked originally, what I said was probably more traumatizing is you finding out you have a different parent. You can't change that. Like it's either they are or they aren't, and it can't be multiples. There's no variables. It's like, oh, okay. So you go and tell a child, hey, by the way, Uncle Joe or Dad Joe ain't your dad. Uncle Joe or Uncle John is actually your dad. What if I say this because like adoptive kids, right? They don't know they're adopted. You tell them they're adopted and their parents are different. That's not your business to tell somebody that.
Okay.
That's not your business.
No, I agree with you 100%, but you know me, I have to ask a question.
No, okay. Well, the other dramatization, I'm not saying the kid won't be traumatized, okay? All right. My family, I thought, was this. I had a friend like this. She thought her family was perfect, found out dad was like an extortionist and like all this other shit. And I remember her coming to me, talking to me about this, but see, that's something that, whether that's traumatizing or not, you could really come, you could, there's, it's different. It's not the same trauma is what I'm saying, as okay. Finding out you're adopted and now you have parents out there and like, I don't know, I say this on both situations out of personal experience.
Okay.
So that's where I come from on that.
Okay. Miss Ace, welcome, and thank you for being so patient. And Shelby, I will be coming around to you. So, Ace, welcome.
Hi. I wanted to drop in on the trauma conversation. So, while I agree that the trauma can be different in both of those scenarios, it all depends on that person regardless, and it depends on their bond with that parent. So, finding out that my dad's not my real dad can definitely be traumatizing because I've been lied to my entire life. Now I want to know who my real dad is. What's the story? Why aren't you guys together? You know, why did you lie for me for so long? But it's the same kind of questions when a kid finds out that, well, just sticking with the dad scenario, that dad has been cheating on mom. Well, I trusted you. You know, I thought that you were different. I didn't, you know, I honestly thought my dad was this, you know, loyal stand-up guy. Come to find out he's been cheating behind my mom, behind the back. Now, who has he been cheating with? Why have they been cheating? How can I ever look at you the same? It's the same kind of question. So the trauma can be the same impacting, or it can have a different impact, but it depends on that third party, which is that child. So to say that finding out from Aunt Betty that my parents aren't my real parents isn't as traumatizing as finding out from Aunt Betty that my dad's been cheating on my mom for the past 10 years would be a misconception. Because at the same token, you got to look at it. This is the third party we're talking about. We were talking about originally the difficult conversations regarding the adults. Now we're talking about a child. A child, the way one child handles a trauma is not going to be the same way the next child handles the trauma, same as adults. So as an example, I am somebody who was molested my entire life. A lot of people I know that were molested in the same similar situations as me grew up to love sex. I grew up to hate sex. So trauma impacts everybody differently, and it depends on that third party. So I would never say that the trauma wouldn't be the same in either one of those scenarios. But now the question becomes, why was this difficult conversation had with a child instead of being had through the adults, and the adults responsible for this having that conversation with the child? It should be the parent's responsibility to have that difficult conversation versus my aunt who I see on every Christmas drunk, whatever the case may be.
Okay. All right. Shelby, welcome.
Hello.
I like that picture.
Oh, thank you. That's a tattoo I want. Okay. I agree with Ace. You have a good point. And I also want to add that I feel the same way. I was molested also. And yes, that I hate sex also. But in my case with my parents, yes, my dad cheated on my mother as long as I can remember. I found out several years after, well, I wouldn't say several years, probably about like 2 years after my parents' divorce, that he cheated on her and with the woman that he remarried. And to this day, they deny it. But in my case, when my parents split up, it took my sense of security away. My dad was the breadwinner in the family. You know, my mom didn't work. She was a stay-at-home mom. You know, she took care of us. And, you know, she was there when we got off the school bus, you know, yada, yada, yada. So it took away, to me, it took away my sense of security. But it also brought trauma with the fact that I wanted to go live with my dad. And he basically said, I'm not taking no brats with me where anywhere I go. You know, so that kind of, it also caused the mental trauma, because why would you tell your 7-year-old daughter that you don't want her? You know, so that kind of, it goes several different ways, you know, I mean, that just.
So Shelby, okay, so let me ask this, because this is why I brought up the thing with the children, because I think there are a lot of things that affect children that adults assume don't affect them. And I also believe that there are things that affect children that we bring with us forward into our adult life.
Right.
You know, so I do, you know, so I do believe that for whatever reason, you know, you not showing up to my school play has, you know, it could affect someone, you know, they just hold on to it for whatever reason. But Shelby, let me ask this. How did you, and if you don't want to answer, you don't have to, because it's a personal thing. How did you feel when you found out or knew that your father was cheating? How did you feel as a child?
We found out, my sister and I found out, I was approximately, maybe this happened after, so I was 14 and my sister was 18. How we found out is we were living with my dad and his wife. We went through her photo albums. And she had an album of Christmas 1 year, and he told my mom that he had to work that day, and we remember distinctly what he was wearing. He had a blue dress shirt, a blue tie, and khaki slacks, and the exact same thing he was wearing, hairstyle, everything. He had a picture, or she had a picture of my dad wearing that exact same thing, sitting in a recliner. This man hates cats and had her cat sitting in his lap on Christmas Day. So tell me, how was he not cheating on my mom with this woman on Christmas Day in her recliner?
Okay.
I mean, that's not a coincidental picture.
And see, and that's what I mean when I say that, you know, what's the difficult part? It's like, you know, okay, Shelby, so let me ask this, and I don't mean, I'm asking you because, okay, so would it have been a conversation that you, and again, I know children little, whatever, but would it have been a conversation when you're looking back on it, a conversation that you would have wanted your father or your mother to have with you as opposed to you and your sister finding out years later?
Oh, yeah, but see, my mom didn't even know. She assumed that he was at work.
Okay.
And we did. When we found the picture, we took it out of the album. And when my dad come home, we confronted him. And yes, he still denies it.
Okay. Crazy. You want to respond to what Ace and Shelby said?
No, I agree with all of it. I mean, you got to understand, it's all, to me, it's all situational. It really is. It's all situational. It's all people. Everybody's different. Nobody's going to react the same. So what's one trauma for somebody that's super traumatic is not for somebody else, because they can handle it differently. Not necessarily that it's not the same trauma. You just handle it differently. I agree with that 100%.
Okay.
And I was molested as a child. It didn't really kill anything that I wasn't already killed as having, you know, a dysfunctional family, you know, drunk dad, single parent, mom, you know, wherever she was at, don't know her. You know, that's why I say for me, I can only speak for me, because trauma for me has been happened so early. It's almost like, well, okay, now I got to deal with it and move on, versus people that may have not had a lot of trauma, when they have it later in life, don't know how to deal with it. Okay. You know, so, I see that. So it's all situational to me, and whatever okay. It is, context, you know, what the context of it is.
TQ, welcome. So Ace, I'm gonna get asked this question to you. So do you think that difficult conversations are harder to have with children or with adults? And when I say children, I don't necessarily mean, yes, when I say children, I mean, we can split that up, meaning children that are like between this age, like, is it easier to have a difficult conversation with a teenager more so than someone that's 8, 9, or 10? So, as opposed to an adult.
I'm going to say, in my experience, which is very limited, I found that having difficult conversations with kids is a lot easier than adults, mostly because kids are still molding and forming. So you can have those conversations and they're more open-minded. Whereas as adults, most of us are very set in our ways and tend to be very closed-minded when we don't want to hear things. But that's just my experience.
Okay. And it's interesting because Lou says, my parents always kept secrets from me. Even when I already knew the truth, they wouldn't even want to talk to me about it then. So, you know, it's like, if you know people know the truth, why is it difficult to just come out and say whatever?
That's per person, though, because I'm telling you, I don't care if you know the truth or not, especially if you know the truth, I have no problem telling you.
But I'm saying, but why is it so difficult for some? Because crazy, I am the same way. I will come out and but for some people, it is hard. For some people, they cannot do that. Why is it hard for them? Why? And some of the stuff is not even, you know, it's to me, and it's not difficult. And that's when I say, are you making it more difficult than needed?
Yeah.
Are you the person that's making it difficult? That's why you're having such a hard time, because you're making it difficult, but it's really not. But then again, I don't know. I guess I can't really say that. You know, I can't say if it's.
I agree wholeheartedly with what Ace said, though, about that kids versus adults, because that's exactly the, when you ask the question, in my mind, the first thing I thought is the kids are receptive to it because they have no idea how it works yet. And they ask the right questions and they pick it apart. And sometimes they teach you a little something because they'll ask something that adult's not going to say, because she's exactly right. If you don't want to talk about something, as in, it doesn't even matter. And you even know, it's not that you don't know, it's necessary. Just like, Oh, well, I don't need to hear it because I'm an adult and I don't, you know, kids are just way easier to talk to. And sometimes they don't understand, but that's when they start asking questions. Us as adults, we stopped asking questions because we think we know everything.
Okay. And Ellie says, never give guiltiness to your child. My mom used to tell me she was dealing with my dad just because of me, and she still does. I agree with that 100%.
I would like to touch on something. So you asked, why is it that even when the truth is known, people still don't want to have the conversations? I would say that part of that, and it's not necessarily going to be everybody, but a part of it is because that means they have to face that truth and they're not wanting to, or they're not ready to. Example being, when I was younger, I figured out that my dad wasn't my biological dad, and my mom never wanted to really have that conversation with me, no matter if I asked what his real name was or any questions. I didn't actually find out who he was until my 22nd birthday. Really weird, odd backstory on that one. But even after having conversation with him, my mom still won't have that conversation with me. And I think it's because she doesn't want to face that part of her past or the truth of it, whether it's because she doesn't know how to handle it still to this day, or because it's so buried that she doesn't want to dredge up those memories.
Well, okay. So then, you know, and we talked about this on other shows. So the conversations that are difficult that you don't want to have, are those the conversations that you take to your grave? I mean, and do you regret it on your deathbed? Do you regret that, you know, that you didn't say something because someone else passed away, because the other person passed away first? But I mean, is this something that, you know, that you're so embarrassed about that you're willing to take something that is important, something that could be important, you're taking it to your grave?
Some people probably. Me, hell no, baby. Mm-mm, not happening. Look, I'm still in a current battle with my parental units because I outed my stepfather as molesting me. He will probably take that to his grave. He denies. And I'm literally waiting to see. I'm curious. On your deathbed, are you going to bother to finally admit the truth, or are you going to take that to the grave with you? To be honest, I think he's going to take that to the grave with him because he's ashamed. I don't give a damn. I spoke my truth. I said it. You didn't believe me. That's on you, Mom. Has nothing to do with me. But I am curious to see, are you really going to take that to the grave and make me look like I was a liar all those years ago to my mom until the day you die? And I do think he will, just out of pure embarrassment of his actions.
So, okay, so I'm coming back. I'm coming around full circle now because I'm going back to the conversations that are necessary. And going back to what Crazy said is, you know, it's not up to you to tell someone else. And I'm going back to the parental, this person, not your mother, this person, not your father, whatever. It is none of your business. I agree with that 100%. But what if it's a medical thing and you know?
Life-saving medical thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I would do it. A liver, a trans, like something that they only don't have to kill the person. They don't have to be dead, you know. I don't know. If it also depends on, it almost depends on who I'm saving, but I'm.
I can't agree with you on that one, Crazy. It does kind of depend on. I'm just saying,
like, if it was my son, look, let's say something happened to me and God forbid I was an adoptive mother. Okay. I'll just say for me, if my son needed a life-saving operation and they needed to know the mom, I would hope somebody would just say it, like, save the life of the child. You know, I don't know. That's where I'm coming from on that. But do you have to tell the child? Why can't you just tell the doctors? So,
I mean, but
why can't you just tell the doctors unless he says,
okay, when you say child, you're talking about somebody under the age of 18,
anybody, just the child. If the child needs to be saved and you need to know the medical history of the missing parent, just give it. For me, if I was gone, like if it was me in that situation, and I'm the adoptive mom, I would want them to save that child's life. I don't care if he's 40 or whatever. It doesn't matter if somebody knows, but why couldn't you give it to the doctors? Look, I know who the parent is. Can't you just contact them? This happened on a show I just watched, actually. Can't you just contact the parent? They don't even need to know. So it's a situation, but what if the, now if it's a minor, They can't really ask who the donator is, right? You can still, as a parent, go, ah, can't tell you that. Now, if it's an adult child, then if they said, who's the donator or who's the anonymous whoever, then, you know, I mean, do you tell them then? I probably wouldn't, because they're alive. Maybe they still don't need to know who that person is. Okay, I don't know.
But maybe you think they don't need to know, but maybe they, for whatever reason, they feel they need to know the recipient.
Well, then they should ask. If they ask me directly, I'm not going to lie about it.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Okay. So
this is medically speaking, not outside of medical, not just them asking me in passing because I'm Aunt Crazy. Aunt Crazy, this ain't Aunt Crazy's business, but I would go to the other parent and be like, look, your child is at, you know, your child, you should have that conversation. That shouldn't be me. Should be you. Here's your child. Here's what's happening. Handle that. That would be the conversation I would have.
Okay. Shelby, you want to add anything?
I mean, I'd agree, especially if the child is asking. I wouldn't volunteer with the child. I would go to the doctor, though. But if the child is asking, you know, because I had that same situation, and I had to go to my sister, and I was like, do you remember? Because this was after my grandparents passed away, and I couldn't ask my grandparents. You know, so I was asking because she remembers more than what I remember, you know, as far as family history. And so I was asking her, and she was like, I really couldn't tell you. But, you know, I can't ask my dad. I don't even talk to my dad. So, that's how it would be. I mean, if the child was asking me, I would certainly, you know.
I just bring it up with the parent. Yeah, you know, I mean, right. I'm not saying don't say anything at all. You know, I mean, just be like, look, man, because I've done that before. I've been in that situation. And I'm like, look, your child keeps asking me. Now, I'm not going to offer that. But when it comes down to medical stuff, like I said, if it was an adult child, 18 or over, and they said to me, you know, Andy Crazy, I mean, what if they ask the doctor? Hopefully they don't, but I know I probably would too. I'd be like, man, who was it that saved me? I just wanted to know. But can't they say anonymous? I'm just saying, if there was a reason not to, then fuck it. They're alive. Then forget it. They're alive. Right. But if it's, man, you know what? You just fried my brain with variables. I lost it. It's gone.
Okay. Ace says, closed mouths don't get fed. So, all right. So again, coming back to, the conversation being difficult, and are they necessary? Are most conversations that we have on a day-to-day basis, are they considered necessary?
Hell, you know how many freaking meetings I have that could have been a damn email? Okay? Yeah. It wasn't necessary.
Right.
Okay. But I mean, not just that, but I mean,
Crazy, you were going exactly where I was hoping someone would say, because I mean, just in the course of, you know, some of my clients that call me and it's like, you know, I really need to talk to you, whatever. And I'm talking, I'm like, you call me over this. It was like, you couldn't, like you said, you couldn't have sent an email. Or really? And the thing about it is when you're talking to them, what they wanted was like 2 seconds long. And, you know, and they make it sound like, oh, my God, if you don't call them, you're about to lose, you know, their business or something. You're rushing to call them. And it's like, oh, well, can I get this in blue instead of red? I mean, it's something stupid, you know, really?
Right.
So are all conversations necessary, and the conversations that are not necessary, why do people make them difficult?
Well, if you're talking to Crazy, the conversation is necessary. Okay. Let's just get that straight right now. But No, I mean, no. But okay, do we have a bunch of unnecessary conversations or just stop talking? Because there's only two ways of, because not everything's necessary. I rarely have one, just one every day that's really truly necessary to have on the phone. And that's usually because I know the other person, if I type that shit, they are not going to get it. And if they ask me a dumb question, I'm going to get smart. So I'm like, look, let's just have the phone call to stop any further questions. 10 minutes of explaining something. They didn't quite, oh, I misunderstood that. No, you didn't, because we had the conversation and I let you ask questions, less questions that way versus me typing it out. So that to me is a necessary conversation because it saves 25 minutes of me having a message back and forth. I can have 10 minutes of conversation. Boom, you understand. Yes, all of that. Here's the information. Go on about your business. Because the miscommunication via text on things can get. So business-wise, I do have a couple. Personal ones, pretty fucking rare. It's not that they were necessary, just that who are you supposed to, you know, I get in my, lately I've been in my answering fairly fast phase. I'm sure I will hibernate soon where I'm just like, yeah, I might answer you now or later. It depends on how necessary the conversation is at right that moment.
And that's what, and that's what I mean. And Ace, I just want to, you made the comment to Crazy, beat me to the punchline. We just said this last week. And guys, I know that some of my shows seem to be recycled, but I know that, as Crazy says, there's always a show within a show within a show. And I remember,
oh, yeah.
And I remember what people say. And sometimes I am writing it down. I'm like, okay, we need to extend this and talk about it on this side of the table, because on the other, we were on the other side of the table last week now, because people were asking questions and stuff. So yes, I do know that I do that.
Solid. It's not even just you. We were having a conversation in a joke around live because we were venting about work.
No, it's for real. We do. We have those conversations. We still talk about that stuff because, first of all, I like to talk shit about my job because F work. Forget them. You know, but I mean, like, that's the thing. The reason why it's all seems repetitive, because it all ties together somehow. All of the conversations, the morals, the lies, the, you know, all the different, there's always, every time you talk about something, there's always another one in there. You're like, oh, that's a whole nother show.
That's a whole nother show. That's right. That's a whole different show. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you guys, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. Or you can, you know, you don't, and if you say yes, you don't have to say what it is, but how many people on the panel and how many people in the chat right now have a difficult conversation that they have not had with someone that they've been putting off? Ooh. And I can admit that I am one of those people. So
just tell me, Solid, just tell me. I don't know why you're making
You know, so does anybody have a conversation like that that they need to have, but
let me think. I mean, there's a lot of people I need to tell them that they're dumb, so that's fine.
You're just dumb. Okay.
Those are necessary conversations.
Okay. You are. You're fucking dumb.
Okay. Listen, don't get into the fuck-fucks, because I can't do this today, Solid. No, that is a really good question.
I'm looking at the chat and everybody's laughing. Okay. And Shorty's the only one that says yes, but I get a lot of laughing, what have you, but nobody's saying anything. Blunt said me. Okay. Shorty said me. Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. Yeah. I missed that. So yeah, but anyway, yeah.
Oh, I don't. None that are necessary. I have a lot of them that I probably could have with people. They're absolutely unnecessary, but they should be told. But it's just because they're dumb and they.
okay, crazy. I will say that there are two people that I can tell you that I have literally said to them, you are really fucking stupid.
It was not me being funny.
We were having a conversation, and I looked at both of these people. These were two separate times, years apart, and I just looked. I said, "You are really fucking stupid."
Just tell them they're a few sandwiches short of a picnic.
But.
You can't fix stupid, okay? You can't fix stupid. I don't care what you say. I'm sorry. You can fix people emotional, but if they're stupid, and I know there's a difference between ignorant and stupid. Trust me, I know. I understand. Common sense isn't common, blah, blah, blah. We can go on for days about this stuff, but some people, and I'm the reason I don't have conversations that right now, like with people, is because honestly, I'm gonna go ahead and just do it because I don't want to, you know why? Mostly because wherever I'm getting the information from has already got on my nerves long enough where I'm like, you know what? I just need, whatever it is already irritating me, and I don't feel like I want to spend the energy and worrying about how that's going to make you feel but it has to be necessary. Okay. It can't be something that is just frivolous stuff, like, unless it's, you know, I'm not into spill the teas and the I don't know, all the extra stuff.
Everything else.
Okay, I will say this because Mama Bear, you're making me laugh here when you say you are less than smart. Okay, and then Lou says stupidity has endless possibilities. One of the people who I said you're fucking stupid is somebody we were going back and forth and they said, you know, you are really dumb. I looked at them, I said, well, you're really fucking stupid. You know, and I say, because what you just said just doesn't even make it. I mean, we were talking about something, it didn't make any sense, and it was at work, whatever.
That's necessary.
You know, and other people were listening and then they were laughing, and then, you know, they were like, well, you know, she has a point, saying that I had a point. And I'm like, you know, I mean, again, I just think that when you, like you said, stupid can't be fixed. And there are some people who I truly believe need to know out loud that they're dumb or they're stupid. I mean, I do. And even though stupid is a nasty word. When I say that, you know, my son was never allowed to use it when he was little, whatever. I think that when you're calling someone stupid, you're really calling them stupid.
I wouldn't call my son that, no matter what. That's you one know, thing. That's different. No, yeah, absolutely.
No, I'm saying that really my son was not allowed to use like I didn't want even want to hear him say, you know, Mom, this is really stupid or something like that. Nope, we don't
no,
use
yeah,
that
yeah, word.
But I do believe that when you call someone stupid, that you're literally saying that they're
stupid.
Because they're stupid.
No, but you're right. And if I didn't really think about it that way, but saying that's dumb or you're stupid, that's different. I think that, I don't know. That's why people think I'm mean sometimes, but really, honestly, majority of the time I'm playing. Okay. Not the majority, a little bit of the time I'm playing. And most of the time it's because maybe that's how I really feel. You need to look at why that made you feel some type of way. Not me.
Okay.
But I mean, if someone's saying something stupid, if it don't make sense, I'm not going to just say stupid. I'm going to say, like you said, I'm going to follow up with, I might call it stupid, but then be like, well, because let me tell you why you're stupid, because it doesn't make sense what you're saying.
But you at the same time though, it's like, if I'm calling someone stupid, to me, sometimes you don't even need to follow up because you're just stupid. I mean, you know, it's like no explanation needed. You know, it's like you're fucking stupid and that's it. I
mean, there's no
look, yes,
talking about it or going to discuss it or anything. Just
they should know why they're stupid. Nope, you're right. They should know why. Most people do know why they're stupid. The thing is like it goes back to what Ace said. They're not going to admit that. They're not going to admit right. that. So it's better to stick with the whatever the aggression defense is because that made them feel some type of way. That's why I tell somebody that, oh, you offended me. You're welcome, but you need to figure out why it made you feel that way. You know what I'm saying? I didn't offend you. You're offended. There's a difference. I'm not intimidating. You're intimidated. There's a difference. I'm not harsh. You just don't like to be told the truth. I'm not saying not all the time, don't I be talking shit. Of course I do. But there is a difference, and you could tell the difference. And there's, and that's, you know, if I'm serious, I'm going to tell you and be like, yeah, I'm not playing. Like, it's not a joke. I'm serious, you know? So there, but that goes back to what everybody else said. Everybody's different. Not everybody's like that. And I didn't get there, like, just, I wasn't born that way. I was born that way, but I still had to develop the skills to master it. And they came with a lot of pain throughout and trauma. You see, that's why I was saying that I give you my point of view, because my trauma is not the same as other people. How I handle that is not the same as other people. That doesn't mean that I don't have a break or whatever. It means that I handle it a different way. And a lot of people probably never seen that. You know what I'm saying? So they're like, well, I strive to be like that, to where you can just say something. Let me tell you how I got here is through pain. So I wouldn't wish any of that on anybody. But it's wise. It's not years. It's wisdom. It's how you were raised. I was already a grown adult running a household and nine years old driving a damn car. Don't tell me about anything, right? But I still learn things to this day, different things, because I in my 20s, I was a lot more closed-minded than I am now, to be real with you. In my 20s, I knew everything. You couldn't tell me shit. Now, I'm like, all right, well, I'm still, I'm right. You can't really tell me, but at the same time, I absorb a lot of it, or I'll be like, no, I'm just kidding. I understand where you're coming from, type of thing.
And Ellie says, we need stupid people on the earth. Ellie, do we really? Because maybe that's yeah. one reason why the earth is so because some people
less, but some stupid. A little bit, just a little bit. Stupid.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, Maura Nori. I apologize if I messed up your name. Okay, so we're gonna wrap it up. So, Miss Ace, do you have any last words?
Have the difficult conversation. Suck it up. Get over it.
Suck it up. Just suck it up. Oh, Lord. Shelby?
Always be honest. Don't, you know, regardless of the situation, if you think that they might need to know, like Ace said, check it up, suck it up, let it be known.
And Ace says, I apologize if my delivery might have been abrasive, but I don't apologize for what I said. I meant it. How do you feel about the words? Is your choice, not mine. See, that's another show within a show. Ellie says, well, as long as Zucchini community members are growing, don't need to say, don't read it loud, solid. I don't understand that one. And of course, Ace, always, no problem. Crazy. Do you have any last words, your last brief words?
Look, just do it. If it's bothering you, just do it. You got to face it. You got to do it sooner than later. Learn it sooner than later. That's all there is to it. Don't let it eat you up until you're of age. That's how people age fast, is by holding on to things. Found that out a little bit too late, but you know, just let it go. Tell the truth. You know, honesty is the best. Most of the time is the best policy. I can't always say, because I feel like sometimes a lie can also be something held back. But I mean, respect and loyalty, two top things before anything else.
Oh, definitely. So some help here. So, okay. Ellie says, don't read something out loud. I don't even know what you're talking about. So I'm sorry I read something out loud. Like, but she read it out loud anyway. I don't know what you're talking about. And y'all just laughing. So this just must have seriously went over my head.
I have no idea.
I mean, so I haven't, and come out, stop blushing. I have no idea what y'all are talking about. Let me go back and look at this again. As long as zucchini community, I have no clue. Because when you talk, see, y'all talking about stuff not growing, that sounds like a Thursday show. That sounds like a Thursday show. Well, everyone, I thought this was a good show. I think we did a show within
always.
So, but I want to end with, since I have now know that Miss Tina Turner has passed away, I was uploading one of her songs, so I'm gonna take this out with Tina Turner. But I am it is sad to know. I am a huge Tina Turner fan. I was able to see her in 1981 in a dive in Chicago when she was just coming back, when she was just starting and coming back. And since then, I was had the opportunity to see her at the Hollywood Bowl twice, since she was, you know, Ms. Tina Turner, Ms. Famous Tina Turner, always gave a great show. This is a woman who went through a whole lot to get where she was, and it's a shock. So anyway, so this is for Miss Tina Turner. And that's it, everyone. Thank you for coming. Enjoy your day or weekend wherever you are in the world. Tomorrow is Thursday. I have not posted tomorrow's show yet. Still trying to figure out what I'm going to do, but we will have a show. But other than that, enjoy your day or weekend wherever you are in the world. And I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.